I'm Sarah Hope, and this is the Kiss My Sass podcast, where I hope to inspire women to be their most authentic selves, no matter what that looks like for them. On today's podcast, I got to talk to two of my best friends, Brent and Mia. They're in a band together called Far From Fiction. And so first, we talked a little bit about my story and what I want to do with this podcast, what direction I want to go, what the purpose of it is. But then we did get to talk about what it's like for them to be in a band together, their stories, where they started, what it's like for Mia to be the front woman of a band. And then we got into some advice for how to start a band if it's your dream, and how to look past people's expectations of you so that you can live outside the box that people try to put you in and be your most free, authentic self, which is what this podcast is about. So I hope you enjoy, and let's get right into it. Okay, so we're recording in all three areas. We've got a backup for our backup, even if the quality is a little less.
We got a backup for your backup for your backup.
Yeah. Okay, so thanks for listening. I just want to preface this with we've already recorded this podcast once, and it didn't save after recording for 2 hours. So that was a major bummer.
Yeah.
So, which is why I am now recording on QuickTime, on Anchor, and on my phone. Just so that there's a couple different options if something goes wrong.
And if we have it my way, there'll be a three-part simulcast.
But I wanted to actually mention that happened, to use it as, like, a teachable moment, because it's like, there are always going to be barriers. Like, the most important things that you're going to do are going to be the hardest. So don't give up when it seems like the universe is trying to stop you. If it's what you're meant to do, fucking do it. Like, don't stop. So there's that. And be prepared.
I agree.
Yeah.
Be prepared for the things that could go wrong, because I am learning very rapidly through things going wrong with this podcast.
Like, I've been the type of person in the past to, like, let one bad experience discourage me and go, oh, maybe it was a sign. It's like, or it was a sign that you needed to try again.
Yeah, like, keep fighting and show the universe that you deserve this. Like, you're going to take it for yourself, you know?
Exactly.
Okay, so I am talking with my best friends, Brent and Mia.
Hi!
I'm having them on to talk about their band, and Mia's a front woman for their band, so that's going to be a really cool thing to talk about. But I also wanted them on because I want to talk about what I'm doing and what I want to do with this podcast and my branding stuff, and I don't really know that anyone knows me better than they do. So Brent's been my best friend since I was, like, 15, so that means 10 years now, because I'm 25. So.
Oh, make me feel old, why don't you? No, yeah, I can't believe it. And it's so funny, because, like, it's like over the course of all that time, there's things that took place a long time ago that feel somewhat recent, and there's things that took place not that long ago that feels like it was, like, forever ago. I don't know. It's weird the way the passage of time works. And I don't know, but yeah.
While we're prefacing things, my dog is also here tearing apart a toy, so if you hear ripping or clicking his nails on the floor, that's just him being a dog. This is his house, too, so there's nothing I can really do about it.
It's just a sweet soundtrack to this podcast.
Okay, so I met Brent when I was 15, and he was in Aim Your Arrows.
Not yet.
That kind of, like, we were friends, and then you started Aim Your Arrows, and then I started touring with you, and that's kind of how we, like, got extra close, you know, is what I was going to say.
Yeah, you can't spend that much time stuck in a vehicle with somebody and not become good friends.
Yeah. And we'll definitely talk more about, like, touring and your bands and stuff later and everything.
Yeah.
But, so we got super close, and I think it sucks that we have to do this podcast again, because there are, like, painful topics to talk about, and I think they're even more painful for you to talk about them than me now.
I mean,
I've done a lot of like processing and working through it is my thing. So
I think you have the most authority in that situation to feel upset about it. I mean, it was upsetting for me, but it was upsetting for me because of what you were going through. So yeah. I mean, you know.
But so I think my like story, I guess, really starts when I left my abusive ass ex 7 years ago in February. And
coming right up to the anniversary of that.
Yeah. February 12th?
Oh, man, it was winter.
I think February 12th, exactly.
Was that
no, that's my dad's birthday.
Happy birthday, Dad. I love that asshole.
But no, I think yeah, I came home pretty close to his birthday, though.
Well, because it was the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I remember. That's the thing I remember is it was the Super Bowl of that year. And
so maybe the 6th.
So, yeah, it was early February.
I went back and tried to talk to him and had to get all my stuff. And then I think probably was officially home actually on the 12th. So that is my dad's birthday.
Yeah, I know that timeline sounds accurate.
Yeah.
I mean,
random observation that your dad reminds me and him of my dad a lot. And my dad's birthday is February 21st. And your dad's birthday is February 12th. That's really weird.
Oh, reciprocal numbers.
Yeah. But so... I was in an abusive relationship, and it sucked, but, like, he basically...
Understatement of the century.
Yeah.
For real.
Well, so, it's hard because it's, like, those type of people are so good at manipulating, and they make you feel so good in the beginning, and then slowly start introducing, like, the manipulative and abusive behavior, and it got to the point where it felt like... Well, he made me believe in my brain, not my soul, that I had no one and no one cared about me and everyone hated me for, and I don't even know why anymore, but
right,
that's kind of how it got.
Which could not have been further from the truth, because...
Right, but they're just so good at it, and he basically brought me down to absolutely nothing and made me feel completely worthless, which isn't true, but that's what manipulators and abusers do so that they can keep you.
Yeah, and when you already have your own insecurity to contend with and then somebody comes and puts that on top of it and mixes that in with it, that just does you in, you know?
Absolutely. So I want to do more podcasts in the future about... domestic violence and what to look for, how to escape, things like that. But I kind of just wanted to touch on it a little bit right now. That's where I started because it was like ground zero. And then I came home and then had the best friends and family to help like rebuild my life completely. And so now I'm to this point where I am totally comfortable and I love myself and... In a non-conceited way. It sounds a little hard. It's hard to say that you
love yourself,
but
it's important to
love
I do. Yourself. You should.
Like,
you
more than
should.
I ever have.
It's a healthy love for yourself.
Exactly. It's not
have.
Like I'm like, I'm better than everyone. It's like,
I love myself.
You should
so
love
I care
yourself
about
because
me.
You're fucking awesome. So.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
So,
and to see you.
Agreement.
To see you now versus the way I remember your demeanor at that point, it's like, it's so different. It's a complete 180, and that makes me so, so happy.
Yeah, and I haven't even known you for nearly as long as he has, but, like, I've even seen you change, like, in a positive way since I've known you in
I definitely
the last
try to
3 years or so.
Constantly grow. But even especially this last year has been so full of growth. Like, I am, like, 100% I feel a different person than I was even a year ago at this time of year.
Yeah, that's
you.
How I feel, too,
yeah.
About myself, even.
Do you?
Yeah.
Cool.
I think I think 2018 was a really hard year for, like, everyone in it.
Yeah.
Like, with all that pressure and pain, it really pushed a lot of people through a lot of growth. Or at least that's how it was for me. I, like, grew rapidly through extreme pain.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like there was a lot of that going around.
Yeah.
You know, that was, like, the flu of 2018.
Basically, it sucked.
It was rapid personal growth.
Yeah. But so, what did I want to say? Like we said last time, like, I don't want to bring up his name in any kind of conversation because
sure.
I really hope that he has grown and I don't want any kind of person or family member, like, getting all angry or trying to go after him, because that was, like, that time was hard enough, and I'm sure being exposed in that period of time was enough, and I genuinely hope he grew. And, yeah.
It's difficult for me to say, but I hope so, too. I mean, just because you do want, of course you want people to become better people. It's interesting to contemplate, like, where the, you know, like, how bad does it get, you know, like, or at what point is it so bad that you aren't allowed to have a redemption arc, you know?
Right. I know. That's something I struggle with so hard when I'm thinking about people who have done things like that. I'm like, do they deserve to be in a relationship again? How would you ever bring that to someone and expect them to want to be with you? Like, how could you say, you know, I was abusive to someone in any way, right, shape, or form, and have that, like, even verbal abuse, I feel like, as horrible as it is, people can maybe redeem themselves from that eventually, but, like, still, if
when
you've told
like
that,
punched someone in the head, like,
yeah,
it's
like, how
correct.
Do you, hi, I've punched someone in the head before, right, but will you date me?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, not in, like, a funny way, like, in a, oh my gosh, like, how do you ever come back from that?
Yeah. Well, but I genuinely hope he has, but it's kind of like how I think about things and, I guess, social aspects, too. There's a lot of people who have done, like, some shitty stuff in their past, but it's like everyone...
Well, by my own admission, I can say that I've, at times, in the heat of, like, you know, intense arguments or disagreements, or just because I was, you know, I just had very little control over my emotions for a long time, that I've... You know, I've hurt people with words before, which is something I'm not proud of at all, but it's something that I've tried to, like, continue to learn and grow from, and, you know, I feel like I've, you know, changed a lot in the last, like, 5 years myself.
I would say most people are guilty of that to some degree.
Probably, yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, yes, you know, that's, you know, and, you know, that's part of being a teenager and being a young adult and whatnot too. You know, but, you know, so, I mean, I've experienced my own personal growth because I did not always have, like, you know, the best ability to be able to, like, kind of keep my raw emotions in check. And sometimes I could just, like, unload on people in, you know, without thinking about it or without, I guess I never really knew that, you know, my words could really carry so much weight.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in like a weird kind of messed up way, it was almost like a lack of self-confidence led to like a lack in a belief that my words could like hurt people.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
like, you know
I
what
understand.
I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And so,
but I really think as long as you're trying to grow and get better, like, that's the thing that really matters, like, living with intention, you know? It's like, in middle school, we all thought it was, no one had any kind of concept that, like, it was bad to call things gay when they were stupid, because no one really realized, or at least at that young age in middle school, that it could hurt someone. But as we grew and started to learn and become, like, socially aware of what words were doing to people's feelings, you learned, oh, I shouldn't refer to things I think are stupid as gay.
Exactly.
Because being
yeah.
gay isn't stupid. It's who someone is,
it
you know?
Middle school for you, high school for me, and I went through the same thing, you know? And I'm to this day, you know, even though, like, you know, I got a high school 52 billion years ago, like, it's still, like, I still feel so, like, guilty about the fact
uh-huh.
that I ever even spoke that way. Like, it's awful. I you know, I wish I could go back in time and punch 15-year-old me in the face and be like, stop it!
But you grew and you learned, and that's what matters. Like, the fact that you did that in high school doesn't make you a bad person. It's that you're aware enough to realize that it's important to really think about these things.
Of course.
And care about how people are feeling, because certain things like that can lead someone to feel like they aren't enough, and even possibly to something as dramatic as suicide.
Exactly.
So.
That's, you know, which is, yeah, I mean, I'm glad that we live in a more socially aware time now, and that the exchange of ideas can happen so quickly and easily now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, unfortunately, people use that to, you know, for negative things too, but...
Mm-hmm. And I think there's, like, a line where, like, sometimes it can be too much, but it's all about intent. Like, don't try to hurt someone. That's basically all there is to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, we were just kind of talking this whole time, and you barely said a word for the last few minutes. I'm sorry.
That is, no, it's okay. I was listening and taking in what you were saying, and thinking about how, yes, you have to be, you have to learn to be mindful, because, I mean, even sometimes people who have, like, talked about how mindful they're trying to be would say something really insensitive to me or whatever, and I, or something that they maybe didn't think was insensitive, but I was like, if you would have taken an extra half second to think about that, you would have realized, like, you can't be constantly, like, you know, you're, like, something you say could always hurt somebody, like, what they've been through, but I'm like, if you would have thought for another second, you would have realized how hurtful that is to me.
But on the other side of that, as the person who feels hurt, like, communication is important, and, like, opportunities to be like, hey, just so you know, that felt kind of crappy. They might have no fucking clue that that could hurt you, you know?
Right, right. Because
if they don't know what's going on with you or have had no one educate them yet, then it's kind of like they're just ignorant to the situation. They just don't know. And so if you don't take that opportunity to kind of be like, hey, just so you know, and then not like be like, hey, shithead, like, fuck you. No, just be like, hey, I just wanted to let you know that when you do this, I feel this way.
Or or just, like, expect, I mean, I've been guilty of just expecting someone to know and being hurt that they didn't know. And in a way, like, sometimes that's justified. Like, you have told somebody something before and they continue to do it. And you're like, at this point, you should know.
Uh-huh.
And without me having to keep on telling you. And at some point, it just becomes, like, your effort becomes worthless and you sometimes have to move on from that person, but...
Right, and that's totally acceptable, like, too, like, taking care of yourself and removing toxic people from your life. Like, you don't owe anyone shit, so take care of you. But, yeah, also...
Yeah, just, like, I mean, and I've been... And you're not always going to get met with the answer you want, either, and that's a learning experience in itself. Like, I mean, like, Brent knows, but I... One time I had to talk to someone about something they were saying and doing that I wasn't liking, and thinking that they'd apologize to me, they instead said, you know, you need to stop being so sensitive. And I was very hurt and very upset about that, and then I thought, you know what? I shouldn't be, because I chose to communicate, and this is the answer they gave me. And then later on when I thought about it, I was like, I don't even think they meant that in a bad way. They just meant, hey, this is the way I am. I didn't mean that in an offensive way. You probably shouldn't be so sensitive to kind of, I'm kind of a very point blank person, and you shouldn't be so sensitive to, like, my style of communication, because I kind of talk that way to everybody.
But at that point, that's up to you.
Right, I mean, and it's like, do you take this to heart? Do you not? But
it depends on what they said, too. I mean,
yeah.
You know, because...
And how they said it and their intent. It's a, like, complicated process.
If it was sexist or racist or homophobic or something, then...
No, yeah, screw them. But no, it was kind of more like a, hey, I didn't like the way you said this to me or whatever. I feel like it was disrespectful. And it's like, well, you're being a little too sensitive. And at first I was like, how dare you? I communicated in you. And like, how dare you say I'm too sensitive? And I'm like, well, I am pretty sensitive.
You're talking about just their tone and the way that they said what they said.
Yes, it was like, I feel like you're kind of talking down to me, or, you know,
well,
like,
I know what you're talking about.
Deserve it.
I got you.
And then I was like, you know what? You gotta pick your battles.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, like Brent said, you know, if they're racist, homophobic, abusing you verbally or something, then you gotta move on. But sometimes you have to pick your battles, you know?
So the other barrier that I've been through is my mental illnesses. I have depression and anxiety, and I definitely want to have another podcast talking about that. And this past year especially, I've been able to use different online influences to kind of work through my own healing process and things like that, and figure out a way to deal with my symptoms and still be productive. So that's been super cool, but it's like, it's hard when you have something like that and it paralyzes you and everyone's like, oh, you're just procrastinating or, like, lazy. It's like, no, this is what is actually going on with me, and I haven't really wanted to talk about it for a long time. Not, like, I've been pretty quiet about it, not because I don't feel like I can trust my friends and family with it, but because I'm so empathetic that I feel other people's pain, and then I am worried about them feeling sad because I'm in pain.
Right. You don't want to burden them with your...
Yeah, I totally understand that.
But then if they are sad that I'm sad, then I will feel their sadness and be even more sad. So it's like a vicious cycle of like, loop.
I know most of the time I just, when someone asks how I'm doing, if I'm not doing good, I'd rather just say, good, how are you? Because it's like, I don't want to tell them.
I wonder if everybody can hear Buddy drinking water right
now.
Oh
yeah, Bud's drinking
water. That's Buddy drinking some water in case anybody...
He's getting hydrated.
Notice
good
some
for
sloshing
him.
All of a sudden.
But yeah, it...
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail.
No, it's all good.
Buddy, you derailed it.
Yeah, but... Well, he's so cute. It's okay.
Yeah. He is.
You're talking about online resources, and I actually just within the last month started using this app. It's called MoodPath.
Oh.
Super helpful.
I started using it, too.
Yeah, it... like, the way that... I like to imagine that the text prompts are in, like, this really nice, soft, soothing, calm voice and whatnot, but it just kind of asks you questions and asks you how severe, like, based on your responses, how severe it's affecting you.
No, but
lay
down.
And you're allowed to, like, you kind of, like, let it know what your mood is. It gives you, like, five choices from, like, very good to very bad and whatnot. And
so you can kind of track it?
Sort of, yeah, you track it, and you can sort of journal with it, too. And it every couple of weeks, it kind of gives you, like, a little non-medical diagnosis. Like, it's very clear, like, it's like, hey, you know.
How you're doing.
Yeah, just kind of a, yeah. I think it was developed by people in that field, so it's not like just...
Oh, that's cool.
It's not like life hacks from non-vaccination mom, you know?
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
It's like legit.
Well, for me, I've been listening to Gary Vaynerchuk for about 2 years now, and he... just by listening to his podcast, I've become a better, kinder, more patient person, but... Buddy just wants to be in Mia's lap. Bud, you're derailing the conversation.
I don't want you digging your toenails into me, right?
Which is kind of partially what's happening right now.
Bud.
If only there was a visual of this, because...
I know.
He wants to be
goodness.
On this podcast.
Goodness, so goodness.
Maybe I can...
I'm turning this podcast into a dog cast, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
So yeah, the MoodPath app.
Yeah, well, I've been listening to Gary Vee, and just listening to his podcast makes me a better, kinder, more patient, and empathetic person, but by listening to him and kind of retraining my brain, I've been able to figure out what's been stopping me, and finally I got to the point where the last barrier was my mental illness, and I've kind of realized that now I really need to talk about it, because I want to help other people who go through the things that I go through, and to do that... I have to share that I've gone through them.
Right.
So I don't want any of my friends or family to be worried for me, because I'm never going to give up. But I do go through really painful stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
But I've found some coping mechanisms to deal with the symptoms. And I've actually been consistently happy for quite a few weeks now. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm having the same kind of experience the last couple months. I feel like I'm better now than I've been in my life, really, as far as, mm-hmm. like... And, I mean, that's a combination of a few different things. But, like, I mean, it seems like when I have some kind of emotional, like, bout of feeling... Like, what am I trying to say? Like... have a big wave come over
an episode of depression.
Yeah, it's a depressive episode or something like that, or just a mixture of feelings. It feels more uncommon now than, like, it being, like, every day and a good day being rare. It's like, okay, I'm on track here, like, and I've been way better at bringing myself back, you know, when I feel like I'm getting into a, like, spiraling downward. I'm like, hey, stop, you know, cut it out. Like, mm-hmm. you know where this leads, and
right.
there's things I can tell myself that work, and...
Right, and it's like, the thing is, I've been dealing with this since I was 14, so that's 11 years now, and it's like, you learn how to deal with it, and therapy definitely helps. Don't let anyone tell you that it's not. But you have to find the right therapist for you.
Yes, you do. And yes, I did.
Good.
Yeah.
So I'd like to have someone on a future podcast talking about how to find the right therapist for you and what it can really do for you, because that was the first thing that really helped me, was going through therapy, and then I was discharged, and then I went back, and then I quit, and then I went back, and now I'm kind of therapist-less. Well, someone gave me a good name, so I'm going to try them. But with my last therapist, when I started going, I was like getting really into my Christian faith. And so I found a therapist with a Christian company. And when I started kind of on my spiritual journey, where I was deciding what I believe for myself, getting into things like tarot cards and spirit guides and stuff like that, she was not about it. And so I was not about her anymore.
You definitely have to find somebody that you can, like, click with. When I was starting to really go through, when I started to recently feel like it was kind of getting out of control again, which I hadn't really been in that place for years and years and years, but I just texted, like, the, one of the...
One of those apps that are advertised that you can text therapists?
Yeah, I texted one of the ones, is it, like, Common Ground or something?
That sounds right.
Yeah. Which I know, that's also a band from around here, but yeah, I think it's Common Ground, but they have, like, a number you can text.
There's a therapy center around here called Common Ground.
Well, I think that's who operates it, but, like, I texted them to be like, hey, I'm feeling awful and whatever, and you could, you know, text with, like, a person. And they actually then sent me to a website that had a list of therapists that you could then browse and kind of...
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was great, and that's where I found my current therapist, who has helped me so much. So
that's great.
That's my bit of advice for that particular...
So if you need help, Common Ground?
Yes. There's a phone number, and you can text it, and I don't...
If you send me the link later, I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay, cool. I might even have saved it.
And one tip that I will give is if you're feeling like you can't afford a therapist, it costs money, but you can make small payments, just be consistent with them. Like, even if you can only make small payments, you know, if you have insurance, I should say, you know, insurance will cover some of it most of the time.
Well, yeah, you can go through your insurance and get a list of therapists that way too, I believe. Or at least
absolutely.
Companies or, mm-hmm. that have them.
And there's a ton of resources.
When I was going, it was just a $20 copay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
usually
very doable. The number I have saved for Common Ground is 800-231-1127. Now, I don't know if that was the one that I was texting or if that's the number that you call, but mm-hmm. that is a number for Common Ground. So.
But absolutely, if you don't feel comfortable talking to someone right away, find one of those websites or numbers that you can text with someone at first and get a little bit more comfortable with it. And as always, if it's an emergency, call the suicide hotline because they can help too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but... like, I want to talk about these things for sure because it's like I've been through them and now I want to be able to help other people get through them. And it's like these have been painful experiences, but I've grown so much. And, like, I feel like I'm finally at the point that I always needed to be to do this. Like, I wanted to start vlogging when I was, like, 15, watching Live, Lava, Live and Amazing Phil and... I always felt like...
Throwback.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I always felt like I wasn't good enough or didn't have, like, anything that anyone cared about hearing about to say. Or that, well, unfortunately, I had body image issues. Like, I was too afraid of trolls calling me fat, basically.
Aww.
So, and up until this year, I've been afraid of that. So, having finally been able to get to the point where I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks about me, it has been a real major blessing. Oh, I got
that's the best mindset to have.
Absolutely. It's all about mindset. I even had my first random hate message, and it started with, "Hey, you fat bitch," and went on to question exactly who I am, and it was ironically, the best gift this random person could have given me, because in that moment, I was just like, oh, I didn't feel any pain or, like, frustration or anger or anything. I was just like, that's weird. And it just kind of rolled off my shoulders.
Can you even imagine being the miserable person who sits around sending those kind of
messages? I know. It's like,
well, I found out in the moment I didn't know. So I was like, whoa, I'm ready to do this. This is amazing. Like, I can't believe that I'm finally at this point where I don't care if someone thinks I'm a fat bitch.
Thank you, random curmudgeon.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I found out that it was... because he had blocked me. It was on Instagram. I went to work and used someone else's Instagram and found out that it was a guy that I had gone on a date with 5 months ago that was still upset that we aren't dating.
Wow. Bye!
Yeah. And he was, like, super creepy, made me feel not safe, so there you go. Like, I'm not gonna date you. That's...
Yeah,
so.
Clearly.
But I just can't believe that it's this many months later and he's still upset. But so...
Yeah.
My goal for this podcast, I guess the mission statement really, is that I want to encourage women to be their most authentic, real, weird, powerful, sassy, whatever selves they want to be, no matter who that is. And I think I have some pretty good experience to help with that.
Sassy Sarah Mills?
Yeah, well, yeah. Literally, some of my friends refer to me as Sassy Sarah Mills. Hence the name Kiss My Sass Podcast.
I believe Sassy Sarah Mills originated on tour.
Yeah, I actually think it did.
That's exactly
probably with, mean. Like, the tour mom thing.
Yeah, like, yes. It just coincided with that.
I wish I had been there for that.
With the Aww. Fire engine red hair and everything.
Yeah, I used to have bright red hair, but it's just that I've gotten to a point in my life where I don't care what anyone thinks about me, and I find it absolutely impossible to be anything but my most real self, so.
Which is fucking awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
yeah.
I guess the one thing I've always been lucky enough to have is that same attitude, because mm-hmm. I've never given a shit, and it's hilarious. Like, someone's like, oh, you and your fucking purple hair, da da da, and I'm like, what, like, that's supposed to fucking be harmful? Like,
yeah.
Oh god, I didn't know it was purple. Shit. Fuck. You gotta stop eating so many grapes or something.
It's funny because.
Fuck you, Wilfred Brimley.
Who's Wilfred Brimley?
The diabetes guy.
Oh, from the diabetes commercial?
On the commercials. I'm here from Liberty Medical.
Oh, okay.
And that's just how I imagine all those guys sounding.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, I know who you're talking about now.
Good.
Well, I totally forgot what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
It's all good. But it's like, especially as a woman, like, I feel like society wants you to act a certain way. Wants you to look a certain way, wants you to behave a certain way, and we're definitely getting more and more out of that, but as long as one woman feels like she has to be a certain way, I'm going to fight for her. But that's not to say this podcast isn't also for men. Go, if you need encouragement, you'll probably get some here.
Yeah, this is for everybody.
But I specifically am like, let's get us equal to the point where women don't feel like they have to be a certain way and they can be like 100% themselves. So,
fuck yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what this is about. But all men are also welcome as long as they're not misogynistic.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, in my whole life, I've always, before I colored my hair or anything, I always, like, wore crazy stuff. And people would give me weird looks and make weird comments to me. And it made me feel bad. It really did. Because I just made me feel like I was this total misfit that, like, could never fit in anywhere. And that can be kind of a crappy feeling. I mean, that's not, like, some people don't care. They're like, I'm an introvert. I like being my own person. I don't care if people don't like me. But for me, being, like, outgoing, I was like, wow, I really don't fit in anywhere, do I? And it was worse because I was homeschooled. And I went to the homeschooling part. I wanted to be homeschooled. I asked to be. Because of some issues I was having, but I was at a very conservative homeschool group for about 5 years, and they did not get me. I was very, like, I was wearing crazy stuff, and and at the time it hurt, and I was, like, I felt kind of ashamed of who I was, and now I'm, like, this is just me. Like,
yeah.
I found people who accept me and love me for who I am, too, but
now I'm like, I don't feel weird or embarrassed when someone, I'm in a, you know, more like, you know, conservative, I'm talking about politically necessarily, I mean, like, just the way people look.
Yeah, like aesthetically.
Aesthetically, yeah, and it's like, oh, well, you know, that right. I'm a person that exists on the planet, and you can't make me exactly who you want me to be.
And I'm so glad you didn't let those people change you, you know, like...
Yeah, and there was many good things that came from that group, too,
it makes you stronger, but, and the also, the other thing is there's always going to be another person like you out there, and the internet has made it possible to find those people.
Yeah.
So do not stop being exactly who you are. Like, just go find those people. Especially if you're, like, in a small little town where you are expected to be a certain way. Go find your people. Yeah, go find your tribe on the internet. It's possible. It's so ironic,
because, like, I grew up in, like, you know, a really artsy town. And then, you know, like, right outside of that is another really artsy town that I now live in. And
that we now live in.
That we now live in, yeah. And, right. And it's like, here, you know, here I was feeling like a total freak. And, you know, now it's like, wow, I'm happy to be with, you know, and it's like I said, there was a lot of really good things that came from that group too, but one of them was not me feeling like I fit in. Mm-hmm.
So I also want to make sure that I say too, that if happiness is key, whatever makes you the most happy, if you want to be like someone with tattoos and colored hair and piercings, absolutely do it. If you want to be a stay-at-home mom, there's nothing wrong with that or not feminist about that. You have to be happy. And if that's what you want, as long as it's for you,
you doing that's you absolutely for you. Perfect.
Yeah, it's like if something you want is to be a mother and a wife, that's
then great. You do you, girl.
Yeah, yeah. It's like as long as, you know, like, if someone's ever making you feel like you should do something, that's when,
mm-hmm.
you know, against your will, if you have no desire to do it, you know, then that's wrong. But...
Because there's a place for encouragement, obviously, like, you know, versus trying to get you to do something you don't
want. Right, I mean, somebody would be like, hey, you know, yeah, I think you should do that, or like, yeah, if, you know, a family member says, I'd love it if you had children. You're like, well, of course, you know, a family member might love it if you have children. But that's different than...
You have to decide what's
for
you.
You have to have children.
Where the fuck are my grandkids?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's like, if that's happening, that's a different story, but...
But, so that's a lot of what I'm about anyway. That's what my goal is for this podcast, and I'm also starting a vlog where it's kind of just me updating stuff about this, but I think I'll probably do, like, art tutorials, too, because that's who I am. I'm an artist. I'm also, vegetarian and mostly vegan.
Hell yeah.
And working every day to do more. Like, I'm an animal and a human rights activist, and I am just a genuinely loving person, and I want to make the world a better place. And that might sound cheesy as fuck, but I don't care, because it's just genuinely true, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah, anyway, that's about me. So now let's get into the other point of this podcast, which is talking to Brent and Mia about their story and their bands and what it's like to do the thing. So
I love doing the thing.
Do the thing.
So do you want to start with your story, Brent, like from when you started doing bands?
Sure. I mean, I always wanted to play in guitar and stuff. When I was a kid, it was because my dad played, and I was just like, "Oh, I want to play guitar like my dad." Da 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 da. And then, when I got into like my later teen years, is when I was like, "Oh, wait, I actually do want to do this like for myself or whatever." So, you know, I kind of started out in it, like around the time that the whole like MySpace scene was kind of starting to like was going towards its peak. And at that point, it was like, you know, you couldn't have a show without tons of kids going. And it might have, you know, at the time, it was for vanity reasons, just to, like, post pictures on your MySpace and get more, you know, internet cred. But, you know, like, we were so fortunate to come up in this scene that was, like, the first of its kind where, like, it existed on the internet, you know, primarily. Mm-hmm. And secondarily, it was, you know, in the real world. So it was like... You know, we had, like, the scene has had so much longevity because of that. It's like you remove the gatekeepers and you just, anybody can just become part of it by just, I don't know, copying the aesthetic and starting mm-hmm. to go to shows or whatever. But
and it was like the first real time that people that were like-minded were able to really find each other easily.
Yeah, you did not have to know somebody. You know, you could just find them. They're just there. They're just all out there. Just go meet some friends. So that's where I got started. My first band was not very great. We were very unpolished. It was very simple and very just, you know, a lot of my lyrics, and I'll say most of the lyrics I wrote at that point were extremely cringy, but that's okay. you know, it was fun, and it was a learning experience, and each band I've been in since then, I've learned so much from. You know, the second band was Snapshot the Stars, and that's when I met you, was at the very end of that.
Oh,
that
yeah. Before... My first memory of you is going to a show and playing... Yeah, at the Static Age in Romeo, and playing The Floor is Lava, and you and your entire band all huddled together on a sewer plate.
It sounds accurate. Yeah. I remember that day. Uh-huh. There are so few people where I can pinpoint and remember the day that I met them, but you're one of them.
Same, yeah.
And then came Aim Your Arrows, and that was the band that, you know, we had a good considerable amount of success, you know, mm-hmm. Did a lot of touring, played with a lot of bigger bands.
And that's the band that I started touring with you with, yeah. Like, with you with. That, with me, that, like, so I was designing your merch and selling
Sarah
it
Sarah Mills
tour.
Was running the show. Like, she took the initiative to build an Excel spreadsheet to keep track of what we were selling and how much of it and whether or not we were making money or losing money. We did a little bit of both. You know, and she was also selling it at the table, getting the table all set up and whatnot. Giving us emergency chocolate when somebody was feeling really bad.
Was literally referred to as tour mom.
Yes, not tour manager, tour mom. And she had her Mary Poppins bag, and everything was in that. Mm-hmm. There was probably a backup tour vehicle in that bag. So that
undetectable extension spell.
A lot of good times though, then you know when that band came to. It's somewhat abrupt end and whatnot.
Dramatically.
Yeah. All water swept under the bridge at this point. Yes. I did say water swept under the bridge.
Okay.
A broom.
And a really big broom. But, you know, later that year was when Far From Fiction got started.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it kind of, that period of time was also sort of like when... It was kind of like the tail end of that whole scene had kind of finally started to, like, run out, it feels like. So
yeah.
That was, like, the last few fumes of what was left over of, like, you know, these kids that were very young when, like, that whole scene started were now the ones going to shows, and it was, like, you know, kind of lesser numbers and whatnot, you know. But it things kind of feel like they're on
it's
an upswing
It's starting
now.
To come back around mm-hmm. a little
yeah.
bit, I think.
It's almost like when Warped Tour
Thankfully
ended.
Now that I finally get to be part of it. After a whole lifetime, 18 years of wanting to be before I started being in the band. And...
Well, yeah. So the end of Aim Your Arrows and beginning of Far From Fiction was when we met Mia.
Yay!
And now you're the lead singer for the band.
Yes.
So do you want to talk about, like, where you started with music?
Yeah. I have always loved writing lyrics, and I've always liked singing, and I started playing guitar when I was, like, about 14, and I started doing open mic nights and stuff when I was about 15 at coffee shops, and it was fun, but it just didn't feel right, and I kind of didn't quite have the confidence, and I kept thinking, man, I just really like to be in a band. I feel like I really need to just use my voice as my instrument only and really write lyrics and have somebody helping me write songs. I would really just, I feel like that would be my thing. And I had kind of given up on the whole idea and was thinking about going to school for photography, even though I was like really wanting to be a musician. And then I met our old bassist Metz at a very awful job that I used to have. And And he said, hey, I know a guy who's trying to start a band. He's looking for a singer, and he's looking for particularly a female vocalist, you know. You want to meet him? And that was at, Sarah's sister Emily's grad party. So...
No, that was at Miranda's grad party.
Miranda's grad party.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I thought it was... No, it wasn't Emily's grad party.
No, Emily, like...
Flubbed that around.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, Sarah Mills was there. Because
you knew Miranda from work, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's why I was there. Right.
That's how we met you.
Okay, now I got it all straight.
But Emily started working at Potbelly. Oh. Emily started working there later, too.
Emily started working at said sandwich job.
Yeah.
Edit that out so I don't get...
So you don't get...
What?
Fired from a place you don't work at anymore?
Yes, I think I was confused because Sarah's sister did end up working there for a little while.
Yeah, but that's not how we met.
That's not how we met. No,
was Emily there or no?
At the grad party?
At said grad party.
I think so.
She might have been.
I think you both were there, maybe. I don't know.
I think.
I don't know. There's a whole cornucopia of people there. Yeah. But... And then I was going around making people hold sparklers in their mouths while I blew bubbles in their eyes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That was a weird day.
Yes, and he invented this game, and that was the day I met Brent. And a lot less romantic than you might think, but...
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we've even mentioned thus far that you guys are dating.
Yes, we are. Maybe we did say something about us living together. So.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Unless but bandmates live together too. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, we're a thing. We've been a thing for almost 3 years. 3 years later this month.
Aw.
Yes. Yeah. So.
Wow, that went fast.
I know. Right?
I can't even. Yeah. Oh my god.
It's crazy.
I know. High school, you know, like high school things feel like forever, but it's like, whoa, seriously. 3 years just went by.
But adulthood things feel like, what?
Wait, how did the three years?
We had another presidential election? What the shit?
Yeah, and I was like, whoa, where did all that time go? But, yeah, so I was absolutely thrilled to a, like, crazy degree, to a, like over the moon, like up in the stars.
You said like seven times.
Flying around with like fairy wings, excited because I had wanted to do this like since I was a kid. And I was like, I never thought I'd get to do this. I'm so excited. And like, you know, it was just a great experience right away. And we played our first show in Toledo at Frankie's. And it was so fun, and I was just, I couldn't have been happier, but...
Open for New Year's Day and I Set to Kill.
Yeah, it was New Year's Day nonetheless. I mean, it was a pretty good show to start out with, and getting to write songs and record an EP was an absolute joy, and, you know, we've gone through all the struggles that bands typically go through since then, but here we are, and...
So you've got... Two or three EPs now?
Three.
And so do you have any future plans coming up for this year for the band?
The band is, we're figuring out what the, like what the game plan for 2019 is right now. So, the awesome dude currently playing bass for us, Costa, is, probably going to be moving out of state, in the early part of the year. So we're kind of game planning on what we're going to do, coming up soon. But we will be playing, some more shows in the near future and, probably doing like some short tours, like little weekenders here or there or something.
I've been doing a lot of writing. So hopefully within the next year, we'll be putting together.
We'll probably keep the streak alive of releasing another EP or something because we just love doing it.
And, definitely.
You know, it's like, probably do some more music videos actually before anything because we haven't done any music video in about a year now. So
that might be a cool thing.
We're
going to
do a few more. Yeah.
And then in the midst of all this, you're planning a big festival called Renegade Fest that's happening July 6th at the Trowfoot in Pontiac.
Thank you for the artwork, Sarah Mills.
Oh, you're welcome.
Sarah Mills made the flyer.
I did.
Renegade Fest is, this is something that really is, it's an event that is something that I've really always wanted to do, and I never felt like I could. It just seemed like an overwhelming, endeavor to try to do something like this. And then when Warped Tour, you know, when they announced Warped Tour was coming to an end as far as being a national tour and whatnot, I just ended up talking to some people that I met on Twitter who were, we were all kind of equally upset about it because it was such an important part of our lives. And a few of us got very serious about the idea of like trying to keep the summer traveling music festival alive. And it's from, and from those discussions, it's evolved into what it is. And I guess I just, I don't know. It was like, once I kind of had like this group of people that believed in the idea, it kind of gave me the confidence boost to go ahead and just try it. And now here it is, it's a reality. And, it's the biggest thing I've ever done.
Well, and all the tours that that I was on, at least, like, you put those tours together and you did a great job doing it. Like, there were tours that we made money, and then there were tours where we went with four bands and no one really made money because there were four bands.
That was so much fun, though.
Most fun, like, the consistently, I think of as 10 of the best days of my life, like, when I think back on it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's something about traveling with this caravan of, like, 25 people that is just, like...
I think it was, like, exactly 20 people.
I mean, but that was just an absolute riot. It was to the point where it was, like, we didn't even care anymore about, like, how successful the shows were. We were just having the time of our freaking lives.
Yeah, seriously. And, we became, like, a little family, and we're still friends with all of those people, for sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
I would love to, like, do another big tour like that.
You're welcome to come.
Don't tempt me.
I know.
Don't tempt me.
Get back to selling merch.
I'll book it. Don't think I won't.
Oh, yeah. God.
We'll get Nadine up here. Oh. I mean, they've been talking to me about wanting to come back to the United States anyway, so...
That would be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be so fun.
Yeah.
Hour 24 doesn't exist anymore,
They
though.
Do not, and
But Boys of Fall on tour, that would be cool.
Let me work on it.
Does Katie's Got Guts do anything anymore?
I don't think so, no.
I don't know.
No, I haven't heard anything from, like, coming out of that in a long time. Yeah. I think they all kind of went their own paths and stuff. But
yeah, I think the last time I talked to George is just more, like, focused on his career, and they probably all are.
I believe so, yeah. That was a very eclectic group of people.
They were a great little group, though.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah. If I ever say eclectic, it's a compliment.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. It was a wonderful group of people. And, yeah, there were some tours that did really well, and there were some that didn't do so well, and... I mean, occasionally I made mistakes too. Like, sometimes I tried to go into too many new markets too quickly because I'll be the first to say I can get overzealous about things like that. I just, you know, sometimes
Well, you dream big. That's a good thing.
I dream really big, and sometimes you need to know when to pull in the reins a little bit, but I've learned that, you know. Patience has never been one of my strong suits, and I'm learning to have patience now. So it's good.
And it's kind of showing too, like, doing all of this Renegade Fest stuff the right way and taking the time to put it all together. And Far From Fiction isn't playing on Renegade Fest this year, right? So that you can make sure that you can run it first.
Exactly, yes. The reason why.
Let it be known, because a lot of people have been asking me, but we are not playing this Renegade Fest.
And you know, the funny thing too is that, like, I thought, number one, I was like, I didn't want to play it because I wanted to run. I'm like, I gotta run the show, and I gotta be able to make sure that I'm available in case anybody needs anything. Plus, I want to just kind of be able to experience it
and take it in
and whatnot. So I'm like, no, I just gotta run the show. And I kind of, as a secondhand thought, you know, like, well, how much of a jackass would that be? Oh yeah, book this big show, put your own band on it, you know. But everybody has been like, what, you guys aren't playing?
Yeah.
You're not playing your own thing? Like, what the hell? And I'm like, oh, shit, okay, yeah, well, then we're
playing. The next one.
We're playing the next one for sure. Yeah. Spoiler alert, Far From Fiction's playing Renegade Fest, too. first band announced right now, right here on the podcast.
Do you want to share what bands are going to be, like, the bigger ones, at least?
It is a pretty awesome lineup. I'm really happy with it. So we have, and I'm going to just pull this right on up, Amorosa, I Set to Kill, Weaver Sharks, Handguns, Carousel Kings, Gold Steps, Conveyor, Awake at Last, The Funeral Portrait, Young Lungs, Former Critics, And, you know, and I'm just going to shout out the locals and support bands, too, because why not? Aim Lower, Conway, Evergreen, Goodbye Blue Skies, Harbor, the Canadian one, not the Ohio one, Jen's Apartment, Man Escapes, The Positive, Tightly Wound, Wanderer, When the Sun Sets, and two bands to be named later. I'm sworn to secrecy. I'm sorry. They'll be announced in May, though.
But if you like any of those bands, when do tickets go on sale?
Tickets are on sale.
Tickets are on sale.
This is going to be a fest.
It's July 6th at the Crowfoot Complex. All three rooms, the ballroom, the Pike Room, and the Verner's Room. The whole thing's going to be going. Doors are at 2 o'clock. It's going to go the whole day, a whole evening. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and it's an all inclusive environment. Everyone is welcome.
No age limit.
No, all ages, absolutely all ages, and you know, it's gonna be a lot of fun. It's hopefully gonna be a very positive thing, and I'm really stoked that I can give back to the music community that's given me so much.
Exactly, and it'll be really good.
I hope to be able to grow this thing into something that could potentially even be a full tour in and of itself. But I'm glad that I can do something here in the Detroit area.
Yeah, and I never went to my first Warped Tour until I was 19.
I believe so.
For as much as I loved that genre of music generally, like that kind of music growing up, I just never got the chance to do something like that. And so I'm so excited to be part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm way excited.
I'm so excited to, like, see you finally do this and kind of proud of you. Like,
I'm proud too.
We're really doing, like, a big deal thing. It's really cool.
I'm pretty excited.
And signed bands and agents and all kinds of stuff.
I would not be doing it without Ruby Riott. Not the wrestler Ruby Riott. That's not the same person. But my friend Ruby couldn't be doing it without Becky Lynch. And Asuka.
Had to name drop Becky Lynch.
She's the man. Couldn't be doing it without Ruby Titus, mm-hmm. who is like my lead partner in the whole thing. She's handling all of the legal stuff and paperwork related things and all the stuff that I just like to keep far away from me. And mm-hmm. I'm handling all of the band venue stuff that I have the experience in. So she's got a very good business mind, and I have a business mind for this. So mm-hmm. I feel like we've been a really great team so far, and I would not be able to do this without her help and support, because that is how the whole thing got started. And so I definitely don't want to be taking 100% of the credit, because I cannot. And I want to make that very clear. So shout out Ruby Riott. I call her Ruby Riott. That's my nickname for her. So.
You know, it would be really great to have her on a podcast to talk about, like, all the stuff that she does, too.
Awesome. We can set that up. I'll text her about it later.
All right. We're calling you out, Ruby.
Yeah.
What is...
What a cool name, too.
Yeah. Is she, like... Does she deal with legal stuff in her, like, career life?
That's what she said. She's still in college for all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
But that's like kind of the field of study or whatever that she's kind of like going into.
Yeah, it would be great to talk to like a professional woman, you know, on my podcast for sure.
Yeah.
So
we'll make it happen.
We're gonna hit you up.
We'll make that happen. Yeah. You know, maybe we can even do it like the weekend of Renegade Fest or something.
Oh yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
And or release it the week before and do another big push for tickets.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We can do that also.
So we would record it any time, but then release it.
For sure.
In a, like...
Hell yeah. In a timely manner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can get tickets from the locals, too. I should mention
that. Yeah.
Like, all of the bands from the Detroit, Toledo, Lansing area do have tickets available.
And Conway is my brother's band, so help him out.
Shout out. Yeah. What's up, Austin?
What's up, Austin?
What's happening, Austin? Where are you at?
Okay, so you're the front woman of Far From Fiction. What's that like, being like in front of everyone, like kind of the center of attention?
Definitely.
It's kind of really fun and also kind of really weird, because like part of me really wants to just like fully embrace it, and then part of me also feels like this weird guilt complex about being like the center of attention and like not wanting to seem conceited or something, but I think it's all about your behavior at the end of the day. Like, you know, how you act when you're not on stage. Kind of, you know, that shows off that side of you. But it's really fun, and I, like I said, it's always something I've wanted to do, and music has been such an amazing healing part of my life that when I've heard other people say that they enjoy our music and it helps them, that is, like, the whole goal for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is exactly what I wanted to see happen.
I think that feels better than even, like, being successfully financially-wise. It's like,
oh my gosh,
if you've helped someone get through something, even just one person, that's, like, all what it's all about. Like, and then it's, like, a legacy, too.
I mean, yeah, it really, yeah, it is. And I was just talking to Brent the other day and saying, like, you know, you can call, it's debatable what magic is, but I'm like, music is magic in a way. Like,
mm-hmm.
sounds put together in a way that just, like, stays with you or, if, like, stays with a certain time of your life when you hear it or reminds you of a time period. Like, that is really magic. I mean,
well, yeah. Like, the one thing, like, that has really stuck with me that I think George said to me was, it's like, my art is cool because it's like you can show someone what it's like to feel something, but
yes.
music can make someone feel what it's like to be on a beach on a summer day or what it's like to fall in love. Music can make you feel that specifically.
Yes, I mean, yeah, I mean, even like melodies, I mean, in addition to lyrics, it's just amazing. And
yeah, even just the way that you present that idea sonically can cause a feeling immediately, which is amazing. Yeah,
it's such an incredible thing, and I love being able to share that with people. And yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of different experiences so far, mainly good ones, being a front person. You know, I think, like, mostly people just have really kind things to say. I haven't yet encountered really anybody being rude or weird. I mean, I've had people be flirtatious, for sure, mm-hmm. and that can be uncomfortable. But, you know, you just kind of give them the handshake or the fist bump or whatever, and you don't let people hug you who you don't want hugging you. And you just, you know, you just kind of, like, get through it. I mean, you know, you see yourself... You see yourself as an equal, you know, in order for, I mean, you look at somebody and you're like, hey, if they want to be weird and misogynistic to me, I'm just going to not take it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say, you know what, I'm your equal and you will treat me as such.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up the hugging thing, because that was something we talked about in the first take of this, the first attempt of this. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I almost forgot, but like, because yeah, because not everybody does want a hug, and that is, for some reason, just something that I had never really thought about for a long time. And when I used to, like, meet people for the first time, you know, I just, like, go straight in for the hug, because that's just how I am. And I never even thought about, like, some people might not want to be hugged, some people might be more reserved or whatever, mm-hmm. maybe they had a bad experience recently, you don't know, you just
people
met
are,
somebody.
Yeah, very sensitive right. to touch.
Or whatever, yeah. And so I had to be like, no, dude, you gotta, like, you know, so I always ask now, like,
can,
you know,
I give you a hug?
Yeah, I'll be like, are you a hugger? Or just kind of, you know,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
sort of.
Even being, I think that's not just restricted to being a guy either. Like, I ask people that too, can I hug you? Like, some people just, there are people, even people on the autism spectrum that don't like being touched. Like, they, and a lot of people are on the autism spectrum that you don't know about,
well,
and it's like.
And then there's just people like me, who I'm not, but I just, like, I don't want anyone to touch me who
oh,
is
yeah,
not,
of
like,
course.
A significant other, a family member, or a close friend. Like,
right.
Like, I'm a hugger with close people, but if I don't know you, like, don't fucking touch me.
Yeah, like,
right.
I'm a pretty, like, touchy person. Not, like, overly, but. You know, I have to realize, like, I've had friends where I'm like, I can tell just by their body language that they
feel
uncomfortable. Don't like that. Like, they haven't explicitly said, hey, I don't want you to, like, touch me on the back when you see me and say hi or anything like that. But I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna not do that because I can tell it makes them uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to read the room, as they say, and whatever, and, like,
and respect people's space. Like, no one owes you a hug because you're
yes.
their fan.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, and it's the whole being considerate thing. It's like, just be considerate. Just think about other people, and, you know, you don't have to be a, you know, quote, snowflake, unquote, but it's like, just be considerate of people's space, like Sarah just said, you know, and people might think it's weird that I handshake, because some people are like, wow, a handshake, that's old school, and it's like, I don't care. To me, that's the best way to...
It's professional.
It's professional. Yeah. It's like, girls, guys, I don't care. Like, I'll even sometimes, you know, with a girl, I'll do the handshake with the little hand touch and be like, it's so nice to meet you. This seems a little more personal or something. But, you know, that's, like, how I try to handle things at this point. Because it's, you know, it's just a good way to keep things kind and cordial and, you know.
Can we just talk about handshakes for a second? If you're going to shake people's hands, have a firm handshake. I hate the cold, dead fish handshake.
Oh, it's so awkward.
It makes me feel like almost like I want to cringe away from you.
Yeah, I don't
like,
know. You just said that. It made me shiver.
When you go to shake someone's hand, go with purpose. Have a firm handshake. Don't squeeze the shit out of their hand and crush their knuckles, but like... Go in there with confidence. Don't just hand me, like, a limp...
A flop.
Yeah. Like, just... So, that just drives me crazy. So, I wanted to say that.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And it's, like, a handshake is usually a first impression. So, don't show someone that you're confident by giving a firm fucking handshake. So...
I said this last time, and I feel that this is, I feel that this is, like, something I like to say because I think it's important, but... We always kind of, like, focus in on guys a lot of times with the hugging thing, but I said if, you know, if you've got a friend or a acquaintance in your community and they're a girl and you're a girl and they have a boyfriend or a significant other of any, you know, gender, it's a little weird to, like, dive hug them around the neck because it's, like I said, you know...
Well, that goes both ways, too.
It totally does. It totally does.
And
close
friends are different, too.
But, but usually guys don't dive hug each other around the neck. Sometimes they do. But it's
I meant just close friends in general or whatever. But
it's like, just, you know, think
two
about the
girls dive hugging their guy friends. And, like, it's just, I think a lot of it is about just respecting other people and having enough trust in your relationship, but also, like, respect in your relationship to they might not feel great about me hugging a stranger so excitedly kind of thing is what you're talking about.
Right, yeah, and it's like it might make a, you know, you don't know if somebody is insecure like a girl, you know, or whatever, and it's like, hey, that might make them feel a little weird if, you know, again, just be aware and try to be like, you know, respectful when you're approaching someone. That's pretty much all it is, really.
Yeah. But also, it's good to have that kind of trust in a relationship, because it's like, Brent and I are close, we've known each other for 10 years, and if we hug tight like we do, like, because he's like a brother to me.
I mean, it doesn't bother me.
Well, I'm saying, like, if a guy comes into my life and it can't be, like, okay with that, then Brent's probably going to stay before you are, so...
I think so.
Have the trust, but also open communication.
Yeah.
Like,
but you've also known Brent for 10 years or
right,
whatever.
But that could be anyone. Like, time really doesn't dictate how close you are to someone, because I knew someone for 20 years who's no longer in my life, and we were best friends, so.
Oh, yeah, but, like, I
and
just
you
mean,
and I
like,
were best friends, like, almost right away, too.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Girls might come up and be like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in forever, or anything like that, and it's like. Okay, who are you? Where are you? And I'm not just talking about myself, because I've kind of, like, grown past that a little bit, because it's like, I try not to let myself get a bit out of shape, but other people are sensitive, you know?
Right. And we also don't know the nature of those, of that person's relationship with your significant other either, because they could be somebody who is, like, a close friend, but they haven't seen in a long time, but they do have that sort of, like, you know, long friendship history or whatever, like someone else have or something.
Or do what I do. You go and introduce yourself to the girlfriend first and make sure they know exactly who you are, and then you address the boyfriend.
But they might also not know that the girlfriend exists.
Yeah, I mean, it's all,
true.
A lot of it's circumstantial.
Yeah.
You know, and
sometimes they just don't care. and they do it anyway.
But also, I think, talking about insecurity in relationships, too, it's important for partners to communicate and like if someone is doing something like I guess if your boyfriend is, like, super hugging tight, like, a girl that you don't know what the situation is, it's like, tell them how you feel and then figure out what's going on before you, 'cause I've, my last two relationships, I haven't had, like, a blow-up screaming match fight because, like, I would communicate how I felt. And it's like, you say something like, when you do this, this is how I feel, but rather than saying, you did this and you're this way and this is how it is, like, when you come at someone saying, this is how I feel, it kind of doesn't allow for someone to get as defensive as if you're accusing them of being a certain way.
Well, right, because no one's going to be able to say, you don't feel that way.
Like, right, because your feelings are valid.
Right. You're not inside my head, you know? Like,
So communication is definitely key between, in any relationship, in a friendship,
professional relationships, anything. Yeah, communication is so important.
Yeah, I just always try to think about, like, some people are totally not jealous types or uncomfortable with anything. They're totally open, and then other people are really insecure and things, they've had bad experiences and they, you know, they get nervous really easy and stuff. So, you know, I just try to keep all of my, like, contact with people, my first time contact or my long, like, you know, long time no see contact very, like, professional, I guess, when it comes to stuff like that.
It's definitely an interesting point of view for sure. Yeah. And something to think about.
Yeah, there's lots of different facets to that.
Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what you mentioned a few minutes ago, and I kept meaning to, like, insert this in here because we were talking about when you mentioned, like, guys don't typically dive hug their friends or whatever.
They sometimes do.
Well, one time, right after, like it had been like a few months since Mitch, who's another one of my best friends, and he had just moved to Kentucky to go to wrestling down in OVW at the time, and I hadn't seen him in months, and he showed up at my door completely unannounced. Like, I was at home, and he called me, and I was like, hey, what's up? And he was like, and then he was like, hey, come to the door. And I was like, well, like, why? Like, I opened the door, and he was right there, and I literally jumped onto Mitch, and, like, gave him this huge hug. But I mean, you know, like we're tight friends like that.
That's a real good friendship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So getting back into what it's like in the industry, do you feel any pressure to, like, be a certain way, like to have your hair and your makeup or your clothes, like, look a certain way because of your scene or because of just the fact that you're in front of people?
I mean, yeah, I definitely hold myself to a certain standard when it comes to stuff like that, or, like, standing out really is the biggest thing. Like, making sure I stand out, and, like, the, you know, some of my biggest influences are, like, Weezer, No Doubt, My Chemical Romance. I know those are, like, three very different groups in a lot of ways, but they're some of my biggest influences. And as much as I love Paramore, I get compared to them a lot. And compared to Hayley Williams.
Compared to all of them.
Compared to all the guys, yep.
Like, dude, you look just like Taylor York, man.
for real. Yeah, but, you know, and it's like, I love Paramore, but...
Not as much as I do.
Not as much as Brent does, and I respect them, and I respect the hell out of Hayley Williams, but I compare to her a lot, and I'm like, hey, I'm not trying to be her. I'm just doing what I'm doing my hair how I like to, my makeup how I like to, my clothes how I like to. And
but you're a girl in a band with dyed hair, clearly.
So clearly
you're a genetic clone of Hayley Williams.
I've met women who don't even look like her that are in bands and say that they get compared to her.
I'm not even in a fucking band, and when my hair was red, I got compared to Hayley Williams. Like, some girl came up to me in a store and was like, are you Hayley Williams? I was like, do you even know what she looks
are
like?
Are you Hayley Williams?
You should have said yes.
I know. From now on, when someone asks if I'm someone, I'm going to say yes.
Well, and I'll be honest, like...
You Bill Murray, yeah.
Yeah.
She's definitely a style icon, and I've taken cues from her over the years as far as, like, bangs and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, but, I mean, she's a 5'2" woman with, you know, like,
I don't know, a small face or something, kind of like I am. And so it's like, okay, a lot of the same things.
5'2 might be even overestimating it.
She might be like 5'1.
I think
foot.
She's 5 or 5'1, but.
Yeah, but anyway, weird. So.
Sorry.
But it's like you're just trying to do you, and like the fact that someone else has also done something similar, it's kind of like almost plaguing, because it's like you want to stand out too, rather than just be like a Hayley Williams lookalike.
You know, and it speaks a lot to like the state of, to like how the scene still has so far to go with women involved in it, because to this day, even though it's like, you know, Paramore really blew up in the scene really big back like when Misery Business came out and the Riot album and everything, obviously. And ever since then, it's just like, it's the getting comparamored, as people call it. And it's like, God, it's like, it's been 12 years. Oh my God, it's been 12 years. It's been 12 years, you know, and like people still like, if, you know, it's like, you know, like there's not just one girl or woman with colored hair, you know, it's like, there's not just one girl or woman that has that kind of look or whatever.
I know, there's so many at this point, and it's like, there's really a lot, and people don't acknowledge it, but yeah, I mean, I thought, like, maybe I should really try not to look like her, and I'm like, why would I do that? I just want to do what I want to, I just want to look how I want to look and not feel like somebody's going to be comparing me, but, you know, things are always going to happen like that, so I'm just kind of rolling with it, and, so, yeah, I mean,
what about, like, dealing with criticism? Like, do you get a lot of criticism yet about, like, how you look or how you appear on stage?
I haven't actually gotten a ton, surprisingly, maybe I'm not far enough into the game yet, but I haven't gotten a ton of, like, negative feedback as far as, I've had people say things to me like, you know, it'd be cool, you should do like a solo thing, and I'm like, okay, I'm standing up here with a band, are you, I mean, people, I've had people actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I've had people say things to me making it sound like someone talked me into being a band, or like, sounds funny, but yeah, why don't you lose those guys and do a solo thing or something? And I'm like, they're like, not that they're like not, they're good and everything, but like, you should just do a solo thing. And I'm like, I don't want to do a solo thing. That's why I'm in a band. It's like, I even kind of tried to, and I didn't like it. It's like, I enjoy having the camaraderie of bandmates, and the...
And the style of music.
And the style of music, and it's like, I, you know...
Some people are fucking clueless.
Yeah, well, and being in a band can be really hard, so it's like, when you're choosing that, it's like, you really want it, so
or
don't...
I'd rather... Yeah, exactly.
The last thing you want to hear is
I'd rather
like
see
that.
You as that, you know, picture-perfect little coffee house girl that wears a, you know, frilly dress and whatever, which there's nothing wrong with that at all whatsoever, but it's like, it's not girly enough for them or something, and it's like, sorry.
It's crappy of them to, like, try to put you in a box and be like, this is what you should be, rather than what you're trying to build for yourself. Like, absolutely, don't let anyone put you in a box. Just be you.
But, yeah, and for the most part, I've only had people who were really interested in that kind of avenue of music and a girl being in a band and going, yeah, that's so badass that you're a girl in a band and that, you know, you just do what you want and stuff like that. And I'm like, good, that's what I'm going for. Like, I want to help influence people towards their dreams.
Amazing and really cool, actually, that you haven't really, because I can't recall a time that I've noticed thus far that anybody had ever said anything beyond that stupid, like, oh, you should be a solo artist thing, but, like, I haven't seen anybody be critical of your, you know, of your voice or the songs or your attire or anything. It's been, like, all very positive,
that's great.
Which is amazing. And
do you think that's, like, the scene itself being kind of family-like almost, or?
The scene has gotten so much better, and there is this kind of, you know, there is sort of this idea that seems to be like a shared idea of like, you know, let's build women up in the scene. And it's taken some time because this has been going on forever. But, you know, I think that there is a, you know, that is a big part of it, I think, too. I mean, which, and of course, I think that she's awesome, so of course, I'm, you know, there's part of me that's like, nah, she's just that fucking cool. Like, who the fuck would say anything bad about her? But, you know, but then, you know, it's like, everybody's got critics, you know?
I mean, and people say, like, all kinds of nice things about Brent and Peter and Costa, too, and, like, the guys that we've had in the past.
As they should about Peter and Costa.
I mean, yeah, they're like, oh, that drummer's great, or that, like, guitarist, you know, does some sweet scissor kicks and stuff like that, you know, like...
I'm most known for my instrument, for what I do, leaving the ground with it.
He's very physical with his performance, and it's really cool, and I love it. But I'm going to be biased here, too, and say that. But, yeah, I mean, mostly positive. I've had people even close in my life who knew me. The few people who knew when I was doing, like, acoustic stuff on my own or trying to start down that path, I've had people say, oh, I really like that, you know, I really miss that, kind of like implying. And I look at it this way, like, you know, or I could hear your voice better or something like that. And I'm like, well, I think of it this way, like, I'd rather sometimes, you know, like there's abstract art. And then there's, like, really refined portraiture and stuff like that. And that's the way music is, too. It's like, yeah, you might not be able to hear a girl's voice, like, if she was an opera singer or something on a punk song. But it's, like, it's a piece of art. Like, you know, I'm not doing this so you can hear my voice. I'm doing it. Which, it's like, those people mean well. But, yeah, it's like, this is what I want to be doing. And I think that if you're going down the path you want to be going down, you know, people will come to support you, and yeah, and I've also had a lot of opportunity to mix my visual art. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. Music too, and that's been really amazing. Like, you know,
you designed the last EP cover, right?
Brent actually did the last EP cover.
But she did the first two. The two with the butterflies and stuff.
Sarah, and I kind of collabed on the very first EP cover, the self-titled.
The spider one?
The spider with wings.
Oh, yeah.
Because you kind of sketched it, and then Sarah Mills put it into the Photoshop or whatever.
Well, I drew it out, like, in my style of, like, pen work and stuff, yes. And then did that.
So it was, like, a mutual thing, and then she did the one for Inertia, and then I did the one for Void, and which is the first time I've ever done an EP cover, so.
That's cool.
It was cool, yeah.
Hell yeah.
But
do you have any advice for other women that might want to be a front woman but are too afraid because maybe, like, the trolls have kept them down, or...
Oh, you're fucking awesome, just do it. Fuck
yeah,
them.
Yeah,
that's my
but
advice.
any practical advice for actually doing the thing? Or once you get into the game, how to...
Well,
keep going.
Yeah, I would say, like, there's gonna be, I mean, like, I'm no expert or not anything, obviously, but, like, there's going to be a lot of roadblocks, because if you're an artist or a musician, and I'm saying this, like, my mom's an artist, I've watched her have a lot of trial and tribulation with her art career, too, and I've kind of learned, like, you can't give up at any... Stop, like, and I'm guilty of that, like I said earlier, of being like, I had a bad thing happen, I think I should just kind of quit and move on. And it's like, no, you can't do that. You have to keep moving forward if you want something bad enough, and you have to find a way to make it work. Like, even if it's small ways, like, we have the internet, we have, you know, there's all kinds of resources nowadays, we have YouTube, we have everything, like, keep going. And if you have a member change up or anything, like, you know, try to get connected with people, go to local shows, get in touch with music programs in your area if you want to take classes and learn, you know, seek advice even from people who have been in it that are around you, or even, like, artists, and just get the advice. I'm sounding very vague here, but, like, I mean all of it.
Don't give up. Keep going.
Find your niche thing that you want to do. Find what feels good to you and keep going. Like, whether that's solo work, whether that's finding a band, whether that's just writing, just playing an instrument, keep working and perfecting what you're doing, and don't give up.
Be relentless.
Be relentless.
And
yeah.
You're never going to make everybody happy, so don't even try and don't even pay attention to people who are critical of you. Pay attention to the people who appreciate what you do.
Yeah, and don't even, I mean, there's going to be influences in your life. Like, for me, I would get really discouraged when, like, family or close friends wouldn't, like, completely be into something I was doing, and I would have to go, do I care? Do I let them run my life, or do I run my own life? Because you care what people around you think, but it's like, you can't give, if you feel good about something, you can't let somebody else be like, oh, yeah, take advice from people, but don't be like, doing something or not doing something just because someone around you wasn't crazy about it.
And no matter who they are, how close like, they are to you.
If you feel like, in your heart of hearts like something's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, really listen to your inner voice for sure. Like, outside voices are going to tell you should or shouldn't do every kind of thing, but you have to really listen inwardly of what's going to make you the most happy, because that's the most important.
If I had listened to every outside voice in my life, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, because I had to choose the path that I chose, and I'm glad I chose it.
Yeah.
But, I wouldn't be here. I would have studied something that would have probably got me, a lot more money, but a lot less happiness.
Yep.
So, I'm glad I'm here on this couch with the two of you right now.
And if you're under the age of 18 and you're living at home and maybe you've got people around you who don't like approve of a music career or anything like that, if there's not a lot you can do, do what you can. I mean, write, research if you like, however you're able, get what you need together. And even like open mic nights, if you're trying to find, there's so many like at coffee shops and like almost every like, town has like a place with an open mic night.
Even a lot of venues will sometimes have like, they'll have an open mic night on like maybe like a Monday or Tuesday, like the slower nights or whatever, where shows don't do as well, they'll do an open mic night or something.
Yeah, like that's an excellent place to start. And even like,
and meet people.
Meet people, make connections, make an Instagram for your music, maybe for your music personality, whatever.
I mean, shit, at this point,
make a YouTube page.
In the year 2019, having a YouTube or Instagram and making that the beginnings of your music career is, like, almost, like,
that's
the most practical way to go.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so weird how quickly, things can change in this industry and other entertainment industries. It's like, like, wow.
Absolutely. And it's like, well, that's the big thing that Gary Vaynerchuk talks about, is utilizing social media to get a big reach and having to create content and document and work really hard. But it is absolutely possible for everyone to achieve success, whatever success means for them. And it's entirely possible to define success without it being by financial means or like, not necessarily making $1 million, but just feeling happy and like you've touched people's lives.
Well, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Is that satisfaction. And, that's why we do what we do, or why anybody does what they do in any kind of creative realm. Like, would you be happier making $1 million doing this or making, less money but being able to be you? While
right.
You're doing it, I'm gonna choose option B 101 out of 100 times. So.
Definitely, and that's what I'm doing. I mean, like, I'm in school for graphic design right now, and I think everyone expects me to go get a corporate job after I'm done being a graphic designer for a company, and I've kind of realized that I don't give a fuck about anyone else's vision but my own. And so
exactly.
It's only the people's visions who line up directly with mine that I'm gonna work with, like you and Renegade Fest and doing the flyer for that. And if my aunt and I open an animal sanctuary, I'll do all the work for that. But other than that, I kind of am in school so that I can create my own artwork better. Like,
I know,
I'm not
like
in it for anyone
there's
else.
There's nothing
and
wrong with that at all.
Yeah,
no, you want to build your skill.
Yeah, and I could go make more money at, like, a big company, but I would be not happy. And culture really depends, it plays a big thing into where you want to work is the culture of the other employees as well. Because, I mean, if I went to work at, like, a music venue that was looking for a graphic designer, that would be really cool.
Yeah, you're going to be around a lot of other similar people. That vision would align with
mine. Sure, yes. Could meet more people who I would want to do design work for. But it's all about figuring out what works for you specifically.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Affirmative all the way around. Good job, guys.
Anything else you guys want to share?
No, are we at that point?
I think we've covered everything.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like that was pretty...
That was fun. That was
pretty thorough and fun.
Renegade Fest July 6th, guys.
Once again, Renegade Fest July 6th.
That's what I wanted to, yeah.
All right, thank you guys so much for listening. It would mean the absolute world to me if you would subscribe, leave a review, and share this with your friends. I'm going to be putting out a new episode every Wednesday, and one of the things that I'm going to be doing is transcribing every podcast into blog form so that the hearing impaired and anyone who just genuinely prefers to read can also enjoy the podcast. So you can find information about all of that on my social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube as Sarah Hope Media, and I'll put all of those links in the show notes. So thank you again, and I really, really hope you enjoyed.